Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yo, this ain't Parents at the Lunch. No, this is Parenting with the Punch. Oh, this ain't Parents at the Lunch. No. This is Parenting with the Punch. Class is in session. Please be seated. Behaviors that get attention get repeated. Avoid the power struggle because it will get you heated. Listen to Amanda because she knows how to teach it. Yo, this ain't Parents Out to Lunch. No, this is Parenting with the Punch. Oh, this ain't Parents Out to Lunch. No, this is Parenting with the Punch. Yeah.
Hello, welcome to Season 3, Parenting with a Punch podcast. I am your host, Amanda Hool. Excited to bring on Laverne Gordon as our special guest today.
Laverne Gordon, she is the founder and president of Love Life Now Foundation, which promotes year-round awareness against domestic violence via its initiatives and helps to bridge the gap between shelters and the communities they serve. She is the 2010 winner of two back-to-back beauty pageants. She started out by using the two titles as a platform to increase awareness on the issue. And the following year, Love Life Now was formed. She has spanned awareness in multiple cities, just recently this past year in Bali, which I visited, and so amazing and honored that she was able to bring awareness. She has been on Huffington Post Live, featured in Huffington Post Magazine, NBC, CBS, Centro, ABC City Line. She is all over, and I'm so excited to introduce her to you all. Hello, Laverne.
Hello, hello, Amanda.
Welcome to the show.
Listen, thank you for having me on to discuss this issue specifically. I appreciate that.
Yes, it is, as you know, so Laverne hosted my first time sharing my story almost a year ago. She sponsored the event. We raised a good amount of money. And since that, you know, being that cathartic experience for myself, I've just really wanted to tap into and like own being able to bring more awareness. So, I mean, you already know how appreciative I am of you, and just the work that you do is just absolutely incredible and so important.
Yeah. I appreciate that, Amanda.
So tell us sort of, give us like a rundown of, Love Life Now and sort of kind of how you started the business.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you mentioned, Love Life Now puts on initiatives slash events within the community to get people out and about talking about the issue of domestic violence. And I come to this work not only as a, you know, quote unquote worker and volunteer, but as a survivor of the issue. And I was a child witness to it, as well as an adult survivor of a almost two-year relationship that I survived. And essentially, I picked up advocating for the issue through the two titles, the beauty pageant titles that I was initially dared to take part in locally, and then went on to win that local leg and had to go on to the national leg, and you know, ended up winning there too, and had these two titles and had to pick a platform, and domestic violence was an easy choice given my history. And so that year with these two titles, I just spent advocating for the issue, using my voice to share my story to anybody that would listen, whether that was within groups or local events that I started putting on that family and friends would attend, and or volunteering at a local domestic violence shelter. And you know, once the year was up with those titles, I knew essentially that I wasn't a pageant girl. I was, really wasn't cut out for it in the long run. I had a lot of fun, and I have high respect for anybody that takes part in pageantry, because it really does take a lot of work and focus. But you know, I really wanted to continue with the work that I had started on the advocacy portion. And so some folks in my corner kept telling me, you know, you should start a nonprofit. That might make it a little easier for you to be able to share your message. And so that's what I did. The following year, Love Life Now was formed. And I continued with the initiatives that we had started that year that has now grown to, you know, a couple to a few hundred people at, you know, different types of events and at each event. And so we are just grateful to be here almost 8 years later, you know, talking about the same thing, which is raising awareness on the issue of domestic violence and sometimes sexual assault, and that people are still listening to us. I mean, you know, it's not for nothing when you're talking about awareness, it's because you need an audience that is interested or willing enough to learn more about what you're talking about, to be able to sustain things on the awareness side. So we're just grateful that folks are listening and sharing the message, because that's what it's ultimately about, is folks getting educated enough to be able to know what the signs are, how to help someone in their corner if someone's going through it, or just recognize that, you know, domestic violence isn't just one place or it happens to one subgroup of people, right, but that it is everywhere and that there's help everywhere. And that's where we come in, is just sort of continuously keeping the issue in the forefront as much as possible year round, not just when a celebrity is being affected by it or an athlete is being profiled for it in the news, but this is happening every 9 seconds in the U.S. alone. And that it is everywhere, and that the person next to you may be going through it and you may not know because they are, you know, prone to suffer in silence. So just helping folks understand those types of things on a, you know, yearly basis, majorly on social media as well. Yeah. Keep talking, you know, the more we talk, the better a victim's chances are of getting help and getting permission to speak up, because you're saying, you know, I'm here and it's okay. And, you know, you're not to blame and you should not feel ashamed. So that's who we are.
I literally, as you know, we're talking about it and sort of made the statistic every 9 seconds, I got the chills, because something that I think that we really should talk about is one thing that I know that to be able to hear you say and kind of resonate with me as a survivor as well was, you'll be better at communicating it. It was something that you said about not judge or what not to say. Can you share what that exact sort of quote?
What that looks like?
Yeah. Because I think that this is where we So I think this is a lot of the stigma surrounding, you know, domestic violence that we just automatically, you know, by with friends and close ones, why it's so hard for, you know, a lot of people to kind of just own that they're going through it.
Right. Yeah, no. And, you know, that's, you know, what society has taught us over the years, right? Is that, right. You know, you automatically blame the victim. Well, you know, if they've stayed this long or they're putting up with it, it's because they like it. Or that, you know, it's really none of my business. Or, you know, if you cared enough about your kids, you would leave. And, you know, there's so many factors why victims end up staying in these relationships. It is not black and white, as society makes it out to be sometimes.
Yes.
So it's easier for you on the outside looking in to judge a survivor or a victim and say these things when you haven't walked a mile in their shoes. And right. So when you talk about, you know, what are the things that, you know, people tend to say, it's, you know, it's a lot like, you know, well, why don't you just leave? And, you know, well, you know, I would never put up with that. Why are you putting up with that? You know, well, you're a strong person. Why are you letting this happen to you? And these are things that you just don't want to say. You know, or, you know, come stay at my house, you know, and the reality is that, you know, for victims that are in these relationships, as I mentioned, there's so many reasons why they end up staying.
Right.
You know, for some, and leaving can look different for a lot of people, for mm-hmm. everybody, for everyone.
Yes.
And so, you know, for a woman with kids, you know, she's thinking, well, sure, I do want to leave. I do want to protect my kids. I know that I shouldn't be here for them to see what's going on, but who's going to take care of my kids when my abuser is the, you know, financial provider? You know, it's going to be great for me to stay at your house for a day or two. And they might take you up on the offer off the
right.
bat to come and stay at your place. But, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days into a month, what does that look like? And they're thinking long, you know, some of them are thinking long term. Well, how am I going to feed my kids? Yeah, I can stay at your place for however long, but what is that going to look like in terms of feeding them, sending them to school? Apart from the abuse, my abuser took care of the kids, or he was financially responsible for the kids, or he would, you know, stay with the kids while I went to work. I don't have anybody else to watch them. You know, like all these things that victims have to think about when it's looking, or they've gotten to their breaking point and they want to leave. Or for someone else who might be, you know, here undocumented. I mean, you know, they're here and their abuser maybe, you know, met them in their country and told them, you know, come to the States, I'll marry you, I'll get you papers. Mm-hmm. And when they get here, it's because there is no marriage, or there is a marriage and one of two things happen. So either there's no marriage and abuse ensues and they have nobody to turn to.
Yeah.
They're afraid to go and report anything to the police because the abuser has instilled in them that if you say anything, I will get you deported, you know, or they come and they do marry and they have paperwork, but they say, you know, leading up to them becoming legal that, you know, I'll block the paperwork from it going through if you say anything, and I'll get you deported, you know, like all of these things that they hold over their head. And, you know, they're here and maybe they may have a, you know, siblings or parents that they have to take care of back in their country. So they're depending on making a better life here to, you know, be able to support them. You know, right. There's just so many layers to this on why victims stay, right? Mm-hmm. You know, for some people, it's just plain out that they have been broken down so badly, self-esteem-wise, that they don't feel like they can make it on their own. They've been told over and over again, you are nothing without me. That if you go out and on your own, you will fall flat on your face. You know, people will blame you, and maybe they've gotten some blame before from family members and friends, mm-hmm. and that makes them scared to even stand alone, right? So because right. they feel like they have no one. So again, I mean, I could go on and on.
Yes.
Why we stay, but that should never be the question, and you should never question a victim as to why they haven't left yet. You know, it takes victims on average 7 to 10 times to leave, Amanda. And, you know, that's if they leave with their life, right? Because the idea is, you know, even if they do end up leaving, again, if they've gotten to a shelter and they're safe, you know, for some, that's all they know is the height of abuse and, you know, someone telling them what to do. Someone like that is the mindset that a victim is in once they're out up from under this physical mental hold that they still potentially have with them once they've gone to safety. So, you know, 2 weeks have gone or a week has passed and, you know, the abuser still has access to calling them. Well, guess what? They're calling them and telling them sometimes, well, hey, you know, I won't do it again. I'm sorry.
The you know, cycle.
Right. You've taken the step now because they know now that they're losing some of that power and control if they've gone now and sought safety somewhere else that they don't know where to find them. It's like, okay, I'm sorry. I won't do it again. Please come back home. Let me come get you somewhere. And a victim is thinking, I believe you. You know, it's been a week. Things are good. He's saying all the right things. And, you know, maybe I should go back. It's really hard here living in shelter. It's not home. I want to go back to what I know, you know, and that includes sometimes the abusive part of the relationship. So, you know, it's again, it's mentally, it takes a toll on you.
Yes.
And essentially, it is a hard thing to get up from up under. And for some, that takes months. For some, that takes days. For some, that may take years. For some, it may never go away. You just will always be in that state of mind that you are less than because this person has told you over and over again that this is what it is.
Right. And something we should also mention is the different forms. I mean, I think in general, we automatically assume that domestic violence is like purely physical, like getting punched every day and bruised.
Right.
There's the physical, emotional, and verbal abuse. And
absolutely. And, you know, those bruises, I tend to say that those, you know, and a lot of people as well tend to say that those, you know, the bruises that you don't see are the ones that last a lifetime.
Yes.
You know, getting punched physically, you know, that pain and that mark may go away. But the emotional toll that this takes on you and the PTSD that you suffer post, you know, having been through a relationship like that, it never goes away for a lot of people. And so, all those different forms, domestic violence can take those different forms. And a lot of the times, you know, for victims, it's essentially worse than the physical portion because, you know, for some, you know, the physical pain you become numb to, but that mental breakdown every day or every other day is insane for folks.
It is.
So every day someone's telling you, you know, you're nothing, you know, they essentially treat you, picture a slave, you know, that sort of dog mentality that, you know, they look down on you with. And then, you know, beyond that, you know, sometimes they begin to judge you. So then you begin to judge yourself. You begin to question your own reality because they're telling you that you're crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been talking about gaslighting within the last week and what that looks like, and essentially it is where your abuser makes you question your own reality and makes you think you're crazy. You know, I didn't say that. What do you mean? I didn't say that. I never said that. Oh, well, no, that's, you're crazy. No. And they're not going to believe you. You know, all of these things that, you know, victims can't put a name to when they're going through it keeps them bondaged, right? And so you're only hearing from this one person that is breaking you down day to day, and you begin to isolate yourself because you think, maybe I am less than, maybe, you know, I am second guess. I should be second guessing myself on what I wear and how I look and the way I dress and the way I talk, because they said that this is better or this is less or this is worse.
Right.
So, yeah, there's just so many forms, but yes. The physical scars are not the only ways that domestic violence takes form.
Yeah. There's something else that I think is important for, you know, anyone that is listening, especially if it's somebody that is thinking about leaving or is having a hard time. And I forget, I'm not sure who it was that said it to me or if it was you or not, but that we, as a survivor, we are stronger than those that have never ever had to be strong.
Yes. So
the amount of strength that it takes to leave a situation, no matter, you know, what the situation is, I think is really, really important, especially for anyone that's, you know, that's listening or is going through it, in knowing that the strength that you will have after you leave this relationship is something that, I mean, it is, I'm sure you can attest to it, is so ridiculously empowering.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, to be able to have gone, first of all, to have survived, right?
Right.
That's a big deal that I think victims sort of downplay, is having gone through this and been able to leave with not just your physical being intact, but your mind in some sort of whole frame, regardless that it's broken down overall. But, you know, it's empowering to be able to, you know, speak your truth. And I think victims and survivors alike, we discount ourselves overall when it comes to that, in thinking that, you know, people are going to look at you differently or blame you for what you went through. And that is so the opposite. And there's a network of women and men across the world, really, that are waiting for your permission to say me too, right?
Yes.
And to be able to do that is insanely empowering. I absolutely agree with that, Amanda.
And now, so you, some of the initiatives that you do on a yearly basis, so you have the fashion show, which you just did your second year.
That
alone, I think, and it's not only, it's not because I participated in the second year, but just to that excite, I think that was such a great idea for you to put this on. I mean, that, so tell us a little bit about the fashion show that you do every year.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was the brainchild of Craig Martin, mm-hmm. and who was a huge stalwart supporter of ours. This is a guy that runs an insurance agency that is passionate about causes beyond domestic violence, but
yes.
we hold a special place in his heart, and we're grateful for that. brought to a local boutique house owner, Sylvia Killian, who they both, between the both of them, decided that this was going to be a great idea to do and have it benefit us and our awareness efforts throughout the year. But we put a spin on it by having the models of the fashion show be survivors of domestic violence. And so the event started 2 years ago, and I was brought in as not only the beneficiary, but to sort of, I had the task of seeking the wonderful survivors that would be agree to be models for this event. And what we quickly realized is that essentially, you know, for a lot of the survivors walking in the show, that for a lot of them, it is their coming out, right, of sorts, to speak to the world, I've been through this, but guess what? I'm standing strong, and this is me. Look at me now. And it sounds simple, but it is a big deal on the night of the event. And Amanda, you mentioned that you participated in it, and I know you felt the same way.
Yes, and I didn't want to do it, if you remember. I was not looking forward to it at all.
Yes, man. And then you went out, you walked out to all the applause, and that's the other thing, is that we have the people that come to this event, you know, not necessarily local to us, but maybe just love the idea of a fashion show, or that the fact that, you know, this surrounds domestic violence. Everybody in that audience is so extremely excited to support the yes. folks that are talking in the show, mm-hmm. that you walked out to the applause, and it was rousing. I mean, it was
extremely
applause, the people cheering you on. And so, you know, reading your bio as you walked out Sylvia's by the Sea fashion. Mm-hmm. And it means a lot. I mean, I walked in the first show, and you know, I've been a survivor. I've talked about my issue with abuse, and still it was like, wow, like this feels good. Mm-hmm. And I was not to blame for what happened to me. And the fact that I am still here and you're still here and everybody else that walks in the show is still here.
Right.
To be able to give someone else inspiration, which you guys did and have done so within the last 2 years. I mean, we get folks coming to us right after the show saying, how can I model? How can I walk? I want to walk. You know, my job for seeking the models is not very hard when you have people inspired by folks like you who are saying, you know, I'm here and no more, right? And mm-hmm. I'm doing it in a bold way through this fashion show. So, you know, it just isn't, again, it just means a lot to us that we're able to put on initiatives like that in the community.
Yes.
You know, and that's, you know, just one of them that we do.
Right.
You know, we try to host one, at least one per quarter. We've actually just added another one coming up on April 7th, but beyond that, our annual walk that happens, it's a walk in heels,
yep.
That, you know, says, you know, walk a mile in my shoes and raise awareness. Right.
Right.
So within the last 2 years, we've had more men showing up
and
walking in heels to support the cause.
I love it.
I mean, it's funny to look at. So awesome in itself. And we have, you know, the cars honking as we walk by with the signs, the awareness signs. And the walk in itself is about a mile, mm-hmm. but essentially we end up raising money for a domestic violence shelter agency. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And so the walk is A, to raise awareness that, you know, the agency exists. B, to show folks that this isn't a shameful issue, that there are survivors walking, right. you know, hands down without a problem, strutting their stuff and saying no more as well.
Yes.
And C, to have folks understand that, again, this isn't a white, black, you know, Latin, this isn't one issue, because the different array of people that take part in this walk is diverse.
Absolutely.
Right. It just shows the broad range of people that this affects.
Right.
Not everybody that's walking is a survivor, but they know someone that's been affected by it. They know someone that's been tragically killed by it. They know someone in their past that went through it. So it just, again, it touches people, it goes across the board, and that's what the walk is about. And obviously a fun afternoon, it's kid friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, you know, there's the hot dogs and the fruit and the ice cream. And we started within the last maybe 2 or 3 years, we have a balloon release in memory of survivors that have passed.
Mm-hmm.
Due to this issue. So we have, you know, a couple speakers and, you know, raffles. It's just a really, really fun morning into early afternoon that this just, again, just gets people in a positive space so that others can learn how they can be part of the solution through the walk.
Right. And then you have the gala, which I was sad to miss this year.
Yes, the gala. So we host the gala each year. That happens every the last Friday in February.
Mm-hmm.
It's held the week before statewide White Ribbon Day here in Massachusetts.
Yes.
And patterned after the White Ribbon Campaign, which asks more men to speak up and out on the issue of domestic violence.
Amen.
Too often us as women are advocating for this issue. But when a man is lending his voice to the cause and talking to men in his community, whether it's his son, his barber, a colleague, a friend, that someone they may, you know, and it may be somebody that they suspect that is abusive,
right.
or just passing on the message of what, you know, manhood can look like without all the testosterone.
Seriously.
And, you know, I mean, you know, it lends, you know, the whole idea is to reimagine manhood, right? Too often growing up, men are taught not to cry, not to show emotion, not to care about what happens to the girl that falls down on the playground. You know, all these things that kids, little boys are taught, that they grow up with, you know, they get to teenagedom and they're stuck with these ideas that say women are less than, or they're to be treated that with less than, as less than, or they've witnessed just within their own homes or communities that is what love looks like. And the White Ribbon Campaign is here to change that narrative, or to help change that narrative. And so the gala asks men and their counterparts, women attend as well, as you know, come out and hear from other men in the community. We have about 2 to 3 speakers. One is typically the coordinator for the White Ribbon Campaign here in Massachusetts. And then it may be a man that's doing the work in the community on a daily basis. And then maybe a local celebrity that's lending, or a national celebrity that's lending their voice to this cause as well. And hear from them how they are in their daily lives using their voice to advocate for this issue, so that the men in the room can then take that message back to their communities. And then at the end of the night, we have the men in the room come up to the front of the room and take the pledge, the White Ribbon Day pledge, which in part simply states, from this day forward, I will no longer condone violence against women.
Right.
And it sounds simple enough, but to the survivors in the room, and potential victims that are in the room, it means so much to hear this collaborative, collective group of men saying, I'm here. You know, you don't have to carry the burden by yourself. You don't have to speak up on your own. We are going to do our part in our communities too. And for some, you know, it may take some time to get used to that whole idea of, you know, being an advocate in that sense. But it's a simple idea of you going back and talking to your sons about on a daily basis about, you know, what respect for women looks like, what love language can look like, you know, just all these things that can play into relationships that they're going to essentially form on their own, right? They're only with us. Our sons and our daughters are only with us a certain part of the day, and they spend majority of the time with their peers.
Yes.
So as much information as we can give to them that they don't have to take as, you know, truth from their peers if they, you know, feel it isn't right, better. So that's what the White Ribbon Campaign, the White Ribbon Night Gala is about. We have a fantastic time. Everybody gets dolled up in their gowns and their cocktails and their suits. And we have a really great night. There's silent auction. And, you know, this past event raised over $11,000. So while we're still grassroots and we're not, you know, on the big time front of raising, you know, the big funding, you know, it really means a lot that folks care enough to use their dollars and their voices to be able to be part of the solution in that way by attending. So
good for you.
Amazing. Yeah, we love that event because again, it puts men on center stage to understand more that this isn't a women's issue. It is everyone's business.
God bless you, seriously. So that leads me to, I mean, obviously, my work in the world, Parenting with a Punch, you know, working with families, parenting on the same page, owning their energy, you know, the communication. You know, you have an amazing husband and, you know, who is supportive and treats you the way that a woman should be treated. But you know, as being a child witness yourself, you know, and having 2 children of your own, what are your thoughts on just knowing the effects it's had as a child witness and just being more conscious in raising your children?
Yeah, so that's a big one. So as I mentioned, I'm a child witness to the issue, and I grew up on the island of Trinidad, which for folks that don't know is the most southerly island in the Caribbean. So we're just above Venezuela, and we are the last island going that way. So that being said, born in 77, really knew myself in the 80s. Mm-hmm. The earliest memory I have of my parents' relationship was my father brutally beating my mother in front of us. Mm-hmm. Not something that he hid to do. Right. And sometimes he would do it in public, in front of our house, in our yard, mm-hmm. Where neighbors would, sometimes peek out or come out, but not necessarily stop him. Why? Right. Because it was culturally acceptable for the most part, even though you felt some empathy towards the victim who happened to be my mom. Right. It was because the guys who were looking on, who potentially wanted to do something, well, guess what? Some of them were doing it in their own house too.
Right.
So who were they to come and question my father stop? Sometimes they would yell out, but they would never, I would say, physically get involved, even though trashing items in the house or the loud swearing and profanity, and mm-hmm. nobody was ever coming to necessarily stop it. Maybe maybe before I was born that may have happened, but I can't account for any time that any one neighbor came and stopped it from happening. And again, I only know this now and looking back because I've become more educated about the issue. So that being said, that was the norm for us.
Right.
There were five of us all together mm-hmm. when it was all said and done.
Yeah.
And I'm the middle child. And it's funny how the issue affected all of us for the most part differently.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I watched what happened. I was scared when it was happening. I mean, my father would use machetes on my mother. He would use beer bottles that he would break and stab her with sometimes. And so, these are things that have never, ever, ever, ever left me.
Right.
I sometimes still have nightmares about it.
Mm-hmm.
Suffering from PTSD, but I watched it and, ultimately kept saying to myself, that would never be me. Mm-hmm. I would never let anybody treat me the way he treated her.
Right.
And unfortunately, subconsciously, I ended up in an abusive relationship myself.
Right.
A, because my father, subconsciously taught me that this is the way that you receive love.
Right.
Right. Yep. Mm-hmm. And my mother said, this is what love looks like.
Right.
And so, as much as I, emphatically, outwardly told myself it would never happen, by the time the first slap took place in my own relationship, and then, some time had passed and, an apology, an elaborate apology came, it was because I immediately was negating the gravity of what had just took place.
Right.
I tried to rationalize why it wasn't as bad as what my mother went through.
Right. Well, and you were also conditioned. So, I mean, that's what love looks like.
Right. And so,
yeah.
Right. Subconsciously. And so, listening to this elaborate apology on voicemails, tons of voicemails, with coupled with Purple Roses, which was still, it's the color of awareness for DV, but with my favorite color, dozen Purple Roses, these long-winded apologies and, worry for where I was because I wasn't contacting him. All of this coupled together with a really nice note with these roses that had come to my house, I immediately was rationalizing, my dad never took the time to elaborately apologize like this. And was just a slap. And he is saying he's sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And it won't happen again.
Right.
So, yes, it's okay. And I did really like him. And, I think I might love him. So here we go. So that first apology acceptance led to almost 2 years of abuse, because by the time the second attack happened. It was more elaborate. And I, again, now started to question myself, because I was being told it was my fault that it happened. I questioning myself, well, maybe I should have done this differently. Maybe I shouldn't have made eye contact with the guy in the club. Maybe, even though I told him to go away, maybe I should have tried harder. I could see how this looks to my boyfriend. Like all of these things that you start to second guess yourself on, because your reality now becomes not yours. You're now owning into what they say is their word is bond, right?
Right.
So, I will say that, over the years, like I said, this issue has affected my siblings differently.
Right.
I have two brothers that are abusive. Mm. I have one that isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I have one sister that has always said, try me.
Right.
Just has always had that attitude, like, yep. I hear you. Like, she just went the opposite way. So, it just has always, it affects different kids differently.
Exactly. Yeah.
But I can't tell you enough that we think, well, it's only verbal abuse and, I try to simmer him or her down when it's happening so that my kids won't hear. And you're not giving your children the benefit of the doubt, because we pick up, even when, I could sense when an attack was going to happen against my mom.
Energy, baby.
Okay, I'm a child, and I could sense when it was going to go down. I'm talking 6-7 years old.
Oh yeah,
I could sense when things weren't right on my father's end, and that he was getting ready to blitz. So you don't give your kids enough credit when you say that I'm shielding them from this.
Right,
you're not. You're not.
No, that this is why it's. And important, we can end on this note, is you have to take responsibility and recognize as parents that if you are fighting and constantly, especially the verbal abuse, it takes a huge toll on their subconscious, like you discussed, like it's conditioning, and parents need to pay attention and recognize that it can have long lasting effects. And like you said, you never know, every child is different, but I think, and
more often than not.
Thank you.
Right.
That if you grow up in that situation, you are going to end up, and I was the same thing. God bless my parents. I love them. They're still married today. And if they listen to this episode, it's not that I'm, they know how I feel. They've always fought. And I thought that, again, that the fighting and the verbal abuse was okay. And hell to the no, I will never end up in a relationship like that ever.
Right.
And you have to be conscious. You have children that you are raising, and it is so important for people to understand that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hugely important because, again, like you said, conditioning, I'm being taught by my mother how to receive love, and my father is telling me how my spouse should treat me.
Right.
And again, you're thinking, oh, well, it's not physical, it's just verbal. Well, those put downs are being instilled in our kids that this is the way that it goes down. It's okay. It's okay to insult her. It's okay to insult him.
Right.
All of these things play into how their love language is portrayed once they get older. So you cannot stress enough, and I'm not saying put on a facade for your kids. I'm saying be real with them and tell them, this is not what it's like. And so a great resource, not necessarily for children, but maybe 13 and up, a great resource for kids going through relationships that you don't necessarily want to, you don't know how to address, and you want them to sort of do it on their own, is loveisrespect.org. It is a teen dating violence awareness website that is catered to teens and dating and relationships to the extent where if they feel like they are going through something or even want to talk about their parents' relationship, they can text. They don't have to pick up a phone and call. They can text the hotline and ask questions. And so again, geared towards teens, I highly recommend it. Loversrespect.org. Even for
Thank
you as
you. People,
if you're yes. looking for a resource about how to, you know, address teen dating and, you know, what relationships can and should look like, what healthy relationships are versus unhealthy. You know, this is a great resource for them. So I highly recommend that. For them.
That thing, and make sure, please share your website for anyone that would love to donate. The cause is greatly appreciated. Share with those that are tuning in your website and how they can.
Yeah. So, you know, even beyond that, just, you know, joining us on social media,
lending
your voice to this issue is huge for us. I know we are hugely about awareness. So you can find us on the web, www.lovelifenow.org. You can find all our links there, but we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, LinkedIn, Laverne Gordon, LOVERN Gordon, on LinkedIn. And I get messages there as well, right?
For people
looking for help. So, you know, Instagram and Facebook at Love Life Now Found with a D at the end. Mm-hmm. And on Twitter, at Love Life Now Found without the D at the end. So, you know, find us on social media and join us there. That means a lot to us to be able to, you know, spread the message with you there as well. So thank you.
Absolutely. You know, and anyone that is listening, if you know somebody that you suspect, please encourage them to reach out to Laverne. You are more than welcome to reach out to myself. I'm more than happy to be of support and lead you in the right direction to Laverne. She's amazing like that. Thank you so very much from the bottom of my heart to continue doing this very important work. You really are making such a huge difference, and I'm so blessed to know you. You have infinitely changed my life, and I love you so much.
Right back at you, Amanda. I mean, you know, it takes a village on this issue, and the more we are banding together and raising our voices in against it, the better we are off. So I write back at you personally and professionally. You do amazing work in this space. And, you know, I appreciate that you, again, are giving us a platform to be able to raise awareness to that end.
You got it. Well, you have a beautiful day, and we will talk again soon.
Yes. Thank you, my dear.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yo, this ain't Parents at the Lunch. No, this is Parenting with the Punch. Oh, this ain't Parents at the Lunch. No, this is Parenting with the Punch. Class is in session, please be seated. Behaviors that get attention, get repeated. Avoid the power struggle, cause it will get you heated. Listen to Amanda, cause she knows how to teach it. Yo, this ain't Parents at the Lunch. No, this is Parenting with the Punch. Oh, this ain't Parents at the Lunch. No, this is Parenting with a Punch.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.